Well, good morning, everyone. I've got Steve with me. We'll try and shuffle up this morning. And welcome to you all from wherever you are on this Trinity Sunday. It's a beautiful morning, and it's lovely to be with you and to have your company this morning. Hope you've got the order of service in front of you. All good. Now we can see Chris and now we can see Anne. So I think I'm seeing everybody that I should be seeing. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind as we rejoice in the gift of this new day. So may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we turn now to our psalm. Wonderful psalm, particularly for such a beautiful morning. And please join with me for the words in bold. Psalm 8. O Lord, our governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. Your majesty above the heavens is praised out of the mouths of babes at the breast. You have founded a stronghold against your foes, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him little lower than the angels and crown him with glory and honour. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever moves in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory to the Father, glory to the Son, glory to the Holy Spirit, one God who was and is to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 28. the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make. Although I consider myself to be a fairly obedient person, I'm not very good at doing what I'm told. I think I was much better at it when I was younger than I am now. Even when I know that the person who is doing the telling is telling me for all the right reasons, I still rather resent it. You should put sun cream on, you know. You need to wear a hat. Isn't it a bit early for gin and tonic? You know the sort of thing. And it's especially hard when it comes from your children or even your grandchildren. So when I've been reading the gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, I've come to the conclusion that there are lots of examples of people telling other people what to do. And I'm not sure how I would have reacted to it all. Pilate gives permission for the religious leaders to place a guard on Jesus' tomb. The two Marys go to the tomb, meet an angel, and are told to tell the disciples that he is risen. The two Marys then meet the risen Jesus, who tells them to tell the disciples to leave for Galilee, where he will meet them. The guards tell the leading priests what has happened at the tomb, the earthquake, the angel, the stone rolled away, and the empty tomb. And the priests bribe the soldiers to tell them to say that the disciples stole the body. The soldiers accept the bribe, but presumably someone along the line spilled the beans and said what they had experienced, what had actually happened, rather than what they'd been told to say. And then we come to this morning's reading, the closing scene in this Gospel of Matthew, which takes place on the mountaintop. The 11 disciples did what they were told, and they went to Galilee as Jesus had told them to. Matthew records that when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. The fact that this scene is played on a mountaintop is significant. It was important that the disciples obeyed instructions. And in Matthew's gospel, mountains are places where Jesus' true nature is revealed. Jesus rejects the devil's attempts to tempt him with false authority on a mountain. Jesus teaches with authority on a mountain, and Jesus feeds the crowds on a mountain. And Jesus reveals his true glory on the mountain when he is transfigured. The fact that Matthew makes a point in mentioning the number of disciples gathered on the mountain is also significant. There were 11 of them. Meeting as a group of 11 was no doubt a painful reminder of all that had happened. Judas's betrayal, Peter's denial, and the other disciples running away for fear of their lives. These disciples, these 11 disciples, are anything other than perfect. They are deeply flawed. And yet, it is to these broken, imperfect people that Jesus gives the task of making disciples of all nations. And it is the same task he has given to each one of us. Go and make disciples. Go. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know all the answers, but we do have to go. It's also a relief to me to know that it's okay to have doubts. Did you notice verse 17? When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Isn't it amazing that Jesus entrusts authority to make disciples to doubting disciples? They may not know it yet, but as they put one hesitant foot in front of the other, their faith will grow. After all, as Jesus has already taught them, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed faith is enough. And we know it because the whole of the New Testament is about those disciples preaching, teaching, healing, and eventually dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. Their mustard seed faith would grow beyond their wildest imaginings. It's so easy to think that we've got to have the whole faith belief thing completely and utterly sorted before we step out and go. But that's a fallacy. Jesus will take doubting worshippers and work with them as they travel the path of discipleship. And it's when we step out, feeling ill-equipped and vulnerable, that the Holy Spirit comes and our faith grows and grows. We do not do this in our own strength. We cannot do this in our own strength. We do this with Jesus' very own assurance that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told his disciples what to do, and when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they did just as he said. They started to speak. They told others about Jesus. And we are also Jesus' disciples, and he tells us to do the same. The goal and purpose of the church is to make disciples for the transformation of the world. There are no excuses, no reasons why not, no obstacles that God cannot overcome. Verse 18, Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a daring and audacious claim. And if it's false, then Jesus has a huge credibility problem. But if it's true that Jesus has all authority, then the only response is to worship him and obey him. It is also all the motivation I need to tell the people the good news about Jesus, his love, his death, his resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins. Matthew starts his gospel by explaining that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew ends his gospel by telling us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us until the end of the age. So the question remains, how good am I at doing what I'm told? Jesus has clearly told me what to do. And as I look around and see the state of the world in which we live, I have no doubt that the world needs disciples who love God, who understand the need for forgiveness, who are peacemakers, who will speak out, who will desire to bless and to bring goodness and gentleness, kindness and love wherever they go. We can't afford to wait until we are perfect and conditions are perfect to make disciples. Tempting as it would be to stay forever on the mountain, we need to step out and to speak. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will you join me in the task that Jesus has given us to do? Amen.
Let us pray. Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are a God of positivity and power, and entrust to you our fragmented world, so vulnerable and so drained by negativity. We pray for the people of Ukraine and of Russia, of Turkey and Syria, of Israel and Palestine, of Serbia and the Balkans, for the continent of Africa, for the people of our own nation, and for all places in the world that are on our hearts, where there is division, hardship, climatic challenges, and suffering. Empower the peacemakers, resource the aid workers, and unite us all with the courage to believe that we together can make a difference. Amen. We pray for young people sitting exams and making career choices, that they might feel positive about their abilities and about themselves, and share their aspirations and creativity and beauty with their little corner of the world. Empower their teachers and mentors, resource their schools and places of learning, and unite us all with the courage to believe that together we can make a difference. Amen. We pray for one another, our families and our friends, our church, our community, as we live out the adventure have called each of us on, with the challenges, the opportunities, the privileges and the responsibilities. We remember especially those who are ill, Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Tony, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Joy, Peter, Rosemary, Eunice, Hillary, and Cheryl. We pray for those who are grieving, especially the friends and families of Ken Reed and Richard Stenlake, those who have lost their homes, those who are struggling to fit in. Empower those who are in positions of influence. Resource those who are carers, encouragers, and providers. And unite us all with the courage to believe that together we can make a difference. Amen. Collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity in the power of the divine majesty, to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
God, the Holy Trinity, make us strong in faith and love, defend us on every side, and guide us in truth and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you very much for your company this morning, fellow pilgrims, fellow disciples. Have a good week in the sunshine and a good day today. And hopefully we'll see you same time next week as we worship again together. God bless you all and thank you so much for being you. See you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Anne.